In John chapter 6, you'll remember, long chapter, and if you read the chapter, I think you'll wonder, why in the world did these folks get upset? But they did. And verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Now, for our Sunday school lesson here, I want to talk to you about the hard sayings of Jesus. The hard sayings of Jesus. If you'll run with me over to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Here's another verse that reflects on this. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. So he's telling us here that some of the things that we consider to be hard, they may not be hard at all, but because the ears of our heart are not working real well, dull of hearing, then they appear to be hard. All right. One more. Second epistle of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 16. 3:16 of 2 Peter. That's not the one. I'm sorry. I need to go one more chapter. Chapter 3. Here we go. 3:16, not 2:16, but 3:16 of 2 Peter. Also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So what he's telling us here is some of the things that men perceive to be hard, they manipulate them. They twist them, they turn them, they make it sound like they want it to sound. And he says, you do that, it's not to your advantage. It's not good for you if you do that. But instead, they do this and wrest these scriptures, twist them unto their own destruction. So, you know, when we talk about the hard sayings of Jesus, some people run across things in the Bible and they, oh man, that's too much. That's as it's hard. So they try to dilute it or they explain it away, or in a lot of cases just ignore it entirely. You say, why did they do that? Three basic reasons. Namely, the world, the flesh, the devil. And those things are at work with all of us. You live in the world, you are flesh, and the devil shows up all over the place. Now, so for a few minutes here, I want to identify some of these hard sayings of Jesus. And just to give you an example of one, when Nicodemus went to Jesus by night, Jesus' basic message to him was, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, it was like, what on earth are you telling me? How can anybody be born a second time, Nicodemus says. Can he go the second time into his mother's womb? I mean, his imagination's running wild. And from his perspective at that moment, to be born a second time, I mean, it was like, how could this possibly be? So it was a hard thing for Nicodemus to handle. Now, you and I have the explanation Jesus gave. We understand that now. But here are some hard sayings of Jesus. I think, all of these are either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. For example, in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him. Remember John 14:6, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You just think about all of the people out around, and even a lot of people who will be in church this morning. There are a lot of them, if it came right down to it, they've not put their faith in the Lord Jesus. There are a lot of folks who will go to church because, oh, I'm a church member. You know, I became a, and they'll mention Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, whatever. And it's like, yeah, I grew up in that, and my family was that, I'm that, you know. And as far as actually believing in the Lord Jesus and risking their eternity on him, they haven't done it. And it becomes a very difficult thing. Lots of religious people who go to a church somewhere and they say, I will get baptized. And they're leaning on the baptism, not on Jesus. Or other such things as that. So in reality, just believing on him becomes a hard saying for a lot of folks. By the way, we have another book coming out, not one I've written. Do you know Chris Shepler, who wrote that anti-Calvinist book that we published? Brother Shepler is a retired pastor. He's not old, but he's a retired pastor. Sharp guy and tremendous writer. He has written a new book for us entitled Keeping Grace in the Gospel. And I'm telling you, it is one of the best things. We don't have it off the press yet. It's coming. A few more weeks. Probably, I'm guessing, maybe by April we'll have it off the press. When I saw the manuscript, I said to my workers, I said, let me have this one in terms of doing the edits and everything and getting it ready for publication. I said, let me have this one. In fact, I met with Brother Shepler to go over some of the things that I didn't think was real clear that we needed to tweak a little bit. And it's an absolutely, I mean, I could not put it down. I was so fascinated with it. And you watch for that one because it's one that'll help you. A lot of folks, even in circles that identify as Christian, but with them, it's, well, grace plus this, plus this, plus that. And I'm telling you, that's not what the Bible says, you know. So this believing in Jesus, I mean, it's kind of a hard thing for a lot of folks. Now, here's another one. Mark 11:22 tells us to have faith in God. Faith in God the Father. And that simply means, well, let me illustrate it like this. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, they're all involved in, all three involved in everything. Everything, you know, creation, for example, God says he created the world. Well, how many folks say, I don't think about it, and they go off onto something about that. Or they look at the Bible and they say, well, yeah, but it's basically something Paul put together. I don't look at my Bible that way. My Bible, I look and I say, no, God put this together. And I either can believe God or I can look at it, you know, through rose-colored glasses and say, it's just difficult. A lot of people have trouble with that. Here's another one. Matthew 4:19, remember what Jesus said to Andrew and Peter? Follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. Of course, he went on to say, and I'll make you fishers of men. Just following the Savior. You know, as far as I can tell, let me do that better than that. I've read these biographics here of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he doesn't cuss. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't imbibe alcohol. He doesn't do a lot of things. So if I follow Jesus, and in fact, not only that, but there's all kinds of statements in the Bible that would cause us to not do those things. So if I follow the Savior, you understand? But it's a hard thing for some folks. It's like, yeah, you know, I got mad, so I said something ugly. No. On and on. It's a hard saying. Here's another one. Matthew 22:39, Jesus says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I know why we read that, but I want you to read it close. He said, as thyself. Okay, so first of all, I need to remember it's okay for me to love myself. That's why I don't take a nap on the railroad track. I think enough of myself to not go down a bottle of pills, etc. But whenever the Bible says you're to love yourself, love thy neighbor as thyself, that's a little difficult. And we have to stop and think about some of the stuff we're doing to ourselves. That's not good for us. Okay? Now, that same verse tells me to love my neighbor. Not all of my neighbors are real lovely. I had the privilege to be a pastor for a long time. And I've probably told you before, and if I haven't, I'm going to tell you now. Before I became pastor, I loved church. But after I became pastor, I still love church, and I love being pastor. I hear some of these guys whine about, you know, all the difficulty. You're not going to hear me whining about, man, I love being pastor. And I'm serious when I tell you that. Now, our church grew. We reached a lot of people. And not everybody who came through the door was just somebody that automatically just said, wow, that's just a wonderful person. Now, I'm sure that never happens here at Blessed Hope. Probably never happens. Everybody who comes in the door here, just great. But we sometimes, well, often, we had people come through the door and they had lots of baggage. Lots of baggage. They say, what do you do about that? Well, I may not like some of what they do. I may not like a lot of what they do, but by the grace and goodness of God, I can love that person. God enables me, as human as I am, God enables me to be able to love that person and to welcome them warmly and to let them sit on the seat with me. Let them sit down front, in the back, in the middle, wherever they want to sit and be fully accepted. So it's not always easy. I tell you, some of the tough things, people commit crimes, they abuse children, they abuse old people. I have no tolerance for that stuff. I mean, I'm very intolerant of it. In fact, I've sent some people to prison who deserve to be there for some of that garbage. But at the same time, even though they're in the calaboose, I didn't cut ties with them. I carry on correspondence today with people who have committed murders. In fact, some famous prisoners. And you say, yeah, no, they're never going to see the light of the day, but they're a real person. They're somebody for whom Jesus died. And I wouldn't want them to get out, some of them. But I'll still, because I think this statement, love your neighbor, it means that I ought to minister to them in whatever way that I can. That's not easy, folks. It's a hard saying, but Jesus said it, and we ought to get with it. Amen. All right? Here's another one. I mean, this is getting tougher as it goes. Matthew 5:43-48, Jesus said we're to love our enemies. This is not easy. People who drive airplanes into buildings, They're not on my most favored list. People who commit terror. I've been asked a bunch of times what I think about the stuff going on in Iran right now. The only objection I have to that is, why did we wait all these years to do it? Amen. Why didn't we get with it and do it long ago? It's way overdue. Now, doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth, but the world will be a safer place. Now, does that, no, it doesn't mean that I hate those people. I don't hate them at all. In fact, a lot of the Iranian people are pretty excited right now. A lot of them are. And, but Jesus, I mean, you know, anyway, I'm getting off into the weeds here, but you understand what I'm saying. Jesus told us we may have to deal with people and we may have to deal with them firmly. But that doesn't mean we don't love them. All right? Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Everything that I've seen about people taking up a cross and being nailed to a cross is something that I don't, I just don't savor the opportunity to do that. Doesn't sound like a day off to me. Doesn't sound like a holiday. Sound like tough times. Now, being a Christian, serving the Lord, being out in the workplace, in the work world, in a society that you all are familiar with the Barna group, resource group. They do polling and stuff, Christian group out of that university in Arizona. They every year they do a thing on a biblical worldview, and I've got a front page article coming in the Sword on one of the things they did. Now, whether their numbers are right or not, what they are saying is mind-boggling. And based on the survey that they just did, they're saying that the American population, only 4% of the American population has a biblical worldview. Now, I say whether their numbers are right or not, and I prefer to think the numbers higher than that. But okay, suppose it's 8% or 12% or 22%. Chances are good they're in the neighborhood on their numbers. They surveyed 2,000 people, which is pretty strong for a poll, but at the same time, it leaves a lot of room for error, too. But the deal is we have literally millions of our people, in fact, more of them than of us now in America, who do not have a biblical worldview. Their view of things is basically either totally without God or almost without God. That's scary. What's it going to be 20 years from now? Our population has changed a lot in the last 20 years. Our society has changed a lot. So whenever Jesus said, take up your cross, it means some tough sledding. It means it's not all going to be peaches and cream, folks. It's kind of hard. I look at Matthew 5:42 where he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, that word in the New Testament has to do with maturity. It's not talking about sinlessness. It would mean sin less, but not sinlessness. We're all human beings. But he's telling us to grow up, be mature. And I tell my wife, I remind my wife every once in a while, because I like going to baseball games. I enjoy college basketball, et cetera. And I tell her, I said, and every grown man, there's a little boy down deep inside that comes out to play once in a while. And every one of you guys, the vote would be unanimous. You all know that's true. with you. It may be golf or whatever it is, but that is the way things are. And you know, sometimes we talk about, well, when I grow up. Well, some of us are going to have to say, if I grow up. You know, we may get old, but we may not be grown up yet. And spiritually, as a Christian, the Lord is saying to us, grow up. You know, you may still like to play kids' games, baseball or whatever, but go ahead and be a spiritually mature Christian. All right? Here's a couple more. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, Jesus said, don't give that which is holy to dogs. Things that are good and godly and sacred, don't trash it. Don't throw it under the bus. Don't give it to dogs. Matthew chapter 5, verses 25 and following, he tells us not to be a worrywart. My words of what he said. But it's basically don't be a worrywart. It's not easy. I'm not going to ask you if you worry sometimes. And please don't ask me if I do. I have to remind myself sometimes. Jesus said, all right, let me handle it. Here's another one. It's a little difficult. Matthew 23:23, Jesus told us to tithe. I'm tired of hearing people say, oh, it's only Old Testament stuff. Well, you know, the Old Testament's still in the Bible. But in reference to tithing, that Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, these ought ye to have done, talking about tithing, pointed to the verse before it mentions tithing, said, these ought ye to have done, not to leave the other undone. In other words, he said, yeah, you ought to tithe, but don't forget to be honest, don't forget to be a person of integrity, etc. All right? And then, what about the Great Commission? That's a little tough. Why Jesus wants us getting out and going after people. You know, we've got churches all across America that have forgotten that. Now, you all here at Blessed Hope, you've set a great example. You've had great leadership for a lot of years. The senior Brother Ross, who's in heaven now, Brother Jerry, you've had the leadership. Y'all have kept your focus on that. You don't know. You probably do know. But I'll just say, hey, how many churches across America are doing that? A lot of churches, even churches, you say, hey, that's a good church. But how many people have they had to say? I mean, are they having anybody saved? What have they got in the baptistry? Probably not water. Not doing any of that. Several years back, I preached at a large church. At that time, they were running 2,500 people every Sunday. When I went in on Sunday to preach for them at their request, the assistant pastor said to me, he said, now I need to prepare you. He said, we haven't had anybody saved or baptized for 3 months. Now, admittedly, they were without a pastor. Nobody saved or baptized for 3 months. Now, we had some that day. Praise the Lord. but at the same time, a church that size, even without a pastor, and nobody being saved for 3 months. So anyway, it's kind of hard. Now, here's one last piece of the puzzle. We started with John chapter 6 where they said, oh, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means whatever, we look at a lot of this stuff, we say, oh, that's hard, man, that's just tough, I don't think I can handle that. Jesus said it's not grievous, meaning it's not burdensome, it's just normal stuff, and what he's telling us is, you can do it. You can do it. Now, a little handful of stuff I picked out are things that a lot of us struggle with, but it's not burdensome. And they may appear to be hard sayings, but really it's not all that bad. Just good stuff. Lord, thank you for putting things in the Bible we need. And Lord, help us, I pray. They will just believe you and trust you and get on board with you to do your bidding the way you say do it. And Lord, we'll thank you for all of that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.